so crucial to raising a new generation. Even though our lives have changed, we still rely on each other as a family. I once thought we couldn't possibly be any more time challenged than when we lived in the White House, but I was wrong. Luckily, Chelsea lives and works in New York, so we all get to see each other frequently. My 87-year-old mother is still going strong and living with us. Bill and I make time on weekends and holidays to see as many movies as possible, to take long walks, and continue the conversation we started 35 years ago. We all love eating together as much as ever, even if our kitchen table is often a booth at one of our favorite restaurants. Now that Chelsea has grown up, I look back and see more clearly than ever how much we benefited from the village every step of the way, and how much better off she is for having not just two parents, but other caring adults in her corner. And I have yet to meet a parent who didn't feel the same way. The African proverb, "It takes a village to raise a child," summed up for me the common sense conclusion that, like it or not, we are living in an interdependent world where what our children hear, see, feel, and learn will affect how they grow up and who they turn out to be. The 5 years since 9/11 have reinforced one of my main points. How children are raised anywhere can impact our lives and our children's futures. At the core of this book is my own experience as a mother and my conviction that parents are the most important influences on the lives of their children. But decades of work on behalf of children have taught me that no family exists in a vacuum. Many parents need support to become the best parents they can be. And sadly, not every child has a parent as a champion. In this book and my autobiography, Living History, I wrote about my own mother's difficult childhood. Abandoned by her teenage parents, mistreated by her grandparents, she was forced to go to work as a mother's helper when she was 13 years old. Caring for another family's younger children while attending high school may sound harsh, but the experience of living in a strong, loving family gave my mother the tools she would need later when caring for her own home and children. Learning about my mother's childhood sparked my strong conviction that every child deserves a chance to live up to her God-given potential and that we should never quit on any child. We all depend on other adults whom we know, from teachers to doctors to neighbors to pastors, and on those whom we may not, from police to firefighters to employers to media producers to political leaders, to help us inform, support, or protect our children. In the last 10 years, science has proven how resilient children can be despite great obstacles. And that's where other adults may step in, to help nurture children and to provide positive role models. This small book with the bright, whimsical jacket provided endless opportunities for headline writers who have come up with such variations as "It takes a village to have a parade," "It takes a village to build a zero-waste community," and my all-time favorite, "It takes a village to raise a pig." More significantly, the book helped initiate conversations about how parents and the greater community, the village, all shape the lives of children. People took its message to heart. During my travels as First Lady, several people told me that their PTA had adopted "It Takes a Village" as a slogan to encourage more community involvement. At a children's hospital, I saw staff wearing buttons that said, "This is the village that takes care of children." I got off a plane in Asmara, Eritrea, on an official trip to Africa and was greeted by a large group of women with a colorful painted sign, "Yes, it really does take a village." Today's electronic village has certainly complicated the always difficult challenge of parenting and raising the next generation. When It Takes a Village was published, the internet was largely the province of scientists. No one owned an iPod or a PSP, and cell phones weighed as much as bricks. Innovations are now coming at an exponentially faster pace, and media saturates our kids' lives as never before. Many of these changes are for the good. When I was in college, a phone call home was rare and a flight home a once-a-year luxury.